we seek authentic community as the family of God. We seek authentic community as the family of God. I know all of us have some idea coming to our mind right now of what a family is, or maybe what a family isn't, or maybe our experience of a family. For some of us, that's going to be good. For some of us, that's going to be not so good. And the reality is, all of us have broken families. Just some of us perhaps have more broken families. What I want to share today is that God has a plan for family. God's plan for family far exceeds any family experience that you and I have ever had. This plan for God's family, we might find it right here in Revelation chapter 21, which I find myself reading a lot. But if you have a Bible, it's Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 7. It'll be on the screen. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, "Look, God's home is now among his people, family. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever." And the one sitting on the throne said, "Look, I am making everything new." And then he said to me, "Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true." And he also said, "It is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. All who are victorious will inherit these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." Family. Maybe when you think about family, hopefully when you think about family, you think, isn't that wonderful? That God is going to make a family like this. I might ask, who here would like a family like that at Transformation Church? Jim does. It's awesome. We would like a family like this at Transformation Church. But I would actually go a step farther. We would like a family like that, but actually, I would even say God commands a family like that. Now, how does this work? First, just thinking about my own family and how much we do for family. So back in 2015, I bought a beautiful black Honda Civic. This thing was the first car that I ever owned. It was shiny black. I bought it in New Brunswick. I saved up a lot, $15,000 for this vehicle. And I don't know about you, but the first time you go and spend like that much money at one time, you sure hope that that purchase works out. So anyway, I bought this Civic, ended up moving to Thunder Bay, ended up meeting a wonderful family, marrying Alyssa, becoming part of a family here in Thunder Bay. Well, my black Civic had a life of its own here in Thunder Bay. So my daughter got my Civic. So I gave up my Civic to my daughter. And if that wasn't hard enough, one August afternoon, she is out on a drive, and a drive I didn't even know about, and she rear-ends someone with my black Honda Civic. So that afternoon, she drives back into the parking lot at our house, and there's my Civic smashed. That was during COVID, and it was probably fixable, but because all the parts were no longer available, that car got totaled. I lost my black Honda Civic to family. The things that we do for family, the things that we experience in family. When Hannah arrived in the driveway, she gets out of the car and she's like so upset with what she's done and apologizing and crying. And I'm just like, "I'm glad you're okay. That's all I really care about at this moment." And she asked me, she's like, "Really? Is that all?" But family, the things we experience in family, the things we put up with, the things that happen. Family. I think of, you know, those signs that hang in our homes? Signs like, in this family, we do love. We do hugs. We do kindness. What about this one? In this house, we do second chances. We do apologies. We do real. In this house, we do a little bit of crazy, a little bit of loud, and a whole lot of love. Being a family means you will love and be loved for the rest of your life. Or this one, together is our favorite place to be. Together is our favorite place to be. Again, I would ask, who wants this at Transformation Church? You know why I keep asking that question? Because in order for this to be true of us as a community, this kind of family love, it is going to cost us. We like the idea of the family, and we like the idea of cuddling up on the couch with family and watching a movie. But to have family is costly. I'm going to invite Jeff up at this time, and Jeff is going to read our passage for the day. But I'm going to give you a tiny bit of context before he does that. This authentic community in God's family, what does it look like? And Acts is going to show us what this authentic community looks like. In Acts, we're at the beginning of the early church. Jesus has died. He's risen again. He's ascended to heaven. And now his followers are left, and they're figuring out what this church thing looks like, what it means to follow Jesus. There's 120 followers in a room, and there the Holy Spirit comes on them, and they start speaking all kinds of different languages, and all the people of the city realize, like, oh, I can understand my language. The Holy Spirit is poured out. Peter stands up. He starts preaching a sermon, and he's filled with power from the Holy Spirit. And he tells the crowd, he says, listen, you killed Jesus. This Jesus was the Son of God. He was the Messiah. This Jesus has been raised from the dead, and he's now exalted. Like, he's sitting beside God. He's in the highest of all high places. And so he wraps up his sermon saying this. He says, so let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do?
Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. All the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved.
Thank you, Jeff. We read a little bit extra to give you a little bit of context, but we're going to be looking at the last part of this, starting at verse 42. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. What do you think of a church that does this? I would say today that this church community that we read of in Acts is the most authentic church community I have ever heard of. They devoted themselves to four things. One, the apostles' teaching. Two, fellowship. Three, the breaking of bread. And four, prayers. I think what's amazing about this passage is we have that first sentence saying they devoted themselves to these four things. And then it feels like the rest of the passage that we're going to look at is a snapshot or a window into how they did each of those four things. So maybe today you can imagine we are the early church, only you're not here. You're looking in the window from the outside. There's four windows, or three, actually more than four in this building, but four windows. You might think of it that way, four windows. And we're going to look through each window and see what this early church is doing and how they're doing it. They devoted themselves. Maybe that's the first word to pause on. They devoted themselves. It says to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayers. You know, when we describe ourselves as disciples or followers of Jesus, would we call ourselves devoted? What does devoted mean? A steadfast, single-minded fidelity, a certain course of action. You're on mission. You give yourself up. You're committed to this. Highest priority, they committed themselves. Last week, we referenced the Super Bowl and the Olympics. But these athletes, what do? They devote themselves to their sport. For them, this isn't just an option to wake up one day and maybe think about trying it. This is like, I have to, I want to, I'm looking to win this medal. I was talking to Don, actually, just a little bit ago. We were sharing a coffee, and he mentioned to me, he said, it feels like all of life is a test. And it is. It's a race. They devoted themselves. I think of even the word devotions. Have you heard that? In the morning, we do our devotions. That's a Christian way of saying that we get up early and we read our Bible and we pray. We call that devotions. Isn't it interesting that that very word, devotion, are we devoted to our devotion and how easy it is to lose that devotion, to give it up, to feel like, is it worth this? They were devoted. Recently, I started trying to bike from home to work here at Transformation Church. It's about a 10K bike ride each way. The amount of discipline it takes to be like, I'm going to do this bike ride, as much as I enjoy it when I do it, but the amount of discipline it takes to realize this is going to take more time than it feels like I have, and in order to do it, I have to just work that muscle, that discipline of devotion, to being devoted to it. The early church, they devoted themselves to four things, like I've said several times already, the apostles' teaching. Maybe you can imagine yourself peering in one of those four windows in the church, and they're devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. The next verse, verse 43 says, and awe came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were being done through the apostles' teaching. Awe came upon every soul. Many signs and wonders were being done. Just after this, in chapter 3, there's a story of Peter and John going to the temple, and there's a lame man there, and they look at him intently, it says. When they look at him, he's asking for money, and they say, we don't have money, but we'll give you what we do have. And they say, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Like, this is a power-packed environment that these kinds of things are taking place. Peter's shadow people would try to get under a shadow just to be healed. The Christians, early Christians, devoted themselves to hearing from these apostles. And I'll be honest, as we study the early church, I'm going to be honest as a pastor. I don't think that we are experiencing what happened in the early church. I don't know of any human alive right now where people are hoping to get under the shadow to be healed. And I'm not exegeting the culture saying I know why or that I know all the reasons why the early church was full of this kind of power and we might not see it in the same way today. But I might ask us this. This is based off observation. Often in the places where the culture, where the people are most needy, it's often in those places that God's miraculous hand is most evident. And I might just ask us, It says they devoted themselves. I would wonder about us as a culture, as a Canadian culture. How needy are we of God? Do we grow complacent? Do we stop being devoted? I mean, for years now, church attendance in North America has just declined. How devoted are we? Are we devoted to the reading of Scripture? Does the reading of Scripture capture us in our heart? Do we find the words of life? I don't know what it looks like in your home. Do you pull out the Scriptures and as a family read through the words that have been left us by these apostles? Do we see these words as essential to our well-being? Or do we lose hope? Do we think maybe God's not really here? Or do we give up because we're not seeing these awesome signs and wonders? But I just might offer us, how needy are we of God? And I might even say this. I would say our devotion to God is directly proportionate to our devotion to one another. Okay, I'll say that again. Our devotion to God is directly proportionate to our devotion to one another. We are studying or thinking about today authentic community as the family of God. And I would argue that as much or as little as we are devoted to God will be a measure of how we treat each other. It is directly proportionate. The early Christians devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. A deep sense of awe came over them all. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. Window one. We're going to move on to the second window, looking in the window of the early church. It says that they devoted themselves to fellowship. Here's how they did that fellowship. And I might even just get you to ponder for a moment. What does fellowship look like to you in the church? What are the words or images that come to your mind when you think about fellowship with the people with you? I think of things like a potluck. I call that church fellowship. Maybe having a conversation about God or praying are things that we would consider to be fellowship. I think what you'll find in Acts will blow your mind about what the early church considered fellowship to be. Listen, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. I have thought about this all week. It's troubled me all week. This is fellowship. This is way beyond potlucks and nice spiritual conversations. Those are good. But this is something that challenges me deeply. These people sell their property and possessions. It's like they no longer are motivated by the need to secure a fortune or wealth for themselves. They've met this Messiah Jesus, and this Messiah Jesus says, "You are okay because of me. Now trust me. And the resources that I give you are to be spread for all your new family." When I first started working, it wasn't full-time ministry, but it was I was working full-time in New Brunswick, but I would take a few months off and go travel with Nathan's father, Cal Maskery, actually. I was always so impressed by the generosity of the church. We would travel around, and he would do these things called hope rallies, and he would go share the gospel, and he would go from home to home, and these believers who I had never met would put us up for the night. We would stay in somebody's house, and they would feed us, and we would hang out with them. And that happened over and over and over again. When I moved to Thunder Bay, once again, so impacted by the generosity of believers. Gene Howard lets me live in his house for months on end. The generosity. When I read this, I'm so impacted by, I hope that what was done for me, I would most generously offer up for one of my brothers and sisters here at Transformation Church. Family. I buy a Honda Civic. I give it to my daughter, and my daughter ends up having an accident. Do we actually see each other as family here at Transformation Church? Or do we see it as a bunch of people we gather with on a Sunday morning and listen to a sermon? And later, like two chapters later in Acts, we're told that as the believers shared their possessions, listen to this, there was nobody needy among them, because those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those in need. Would you agree with me? That is the most authentic community you have ever heard of. It sounds utopian. It sounds out of this world. How does this happen? And I'm not standing here today saying I think everybody who has any kind of money should just dump it all, but I am asking us to actually think about this carefully and hard and ponder it in our hearts and ask the Holy Spirit. This kind of community will only exist by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the only way this works. An extravagant generosity. And that's why at the beginning when I was asking, do you want family like this? I'm asking it again. Do we want family like this? Because if it is, it's also going to cost us. I was thinking, when is the last time that I sold an extra item that I don't need to help a brother or sister here at the church? Have you ever seen that? Maybe if you have, I'm sure this does happen among us. But I'm also sure that perhaps we can live even into more of what God is asking us here in Acts. I think this invitation to live like this just simply asks us to trust God and to know that what he has provided is enough for all of us. That as we love each other deeply and passionately and compassionately, that God will care for us as a community. So now we move to the third window, verse 46. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals together with great joy and generosity. So we see this picture of them just daily in the temple. I mean, I just imagine us as a community, the door of the church is open, and we somehow, how did they find time for this? I don't know. But somehow this message and this person of Jesus has so captivated them that daily they're in the temple worshiping God. And as they do this, they also go in each other's homes. And there's a phrase that we're not exactly sure what it means, but they eat together. We know that much. They eat in each other's homes. They either eat the common meal or they share in the Lord's Supper, communion. That's what we do here on Sunday mornings once a month. Or they share in sort of a Jewish meal that was often shared in community. We know one thing. They often took time to eat together, to look each other in the face, to get to know each other when the person beside them maybe has a different political viewpoint or a different argument. You know who's coming over to the house? You know who my brother and sister is? I am going to look them in the face and love them deeply. This isn't just nicely posting on social media. This is us inviting each other over, loving each other, when we disagree, when we think differently, when we're not particularly impressed with the other brother or sister. They broke bread from house to house. I would wonder what it would look like for us to do this. And again, I know that we do this in some ways, but my challenge is, do you think we're living like this early church in Acts? Can we become more like this church? I just imagine, and in one sense, I don't want to go on record as saying this, but I just imagine, you know, this early church passionately going from place to place and worshiping together. And then they go to someone's home, and there, instead of, and I'm not putting this down, instead of watching TV or the Olympics, they shut it off and together they share in the Lord's Supper together. Isn't that awesome? I mean, doesn't this show of these people who are just taken with the kingdom to come, who are taken with the Messiah Jesus, who just say, this is something that I want more than anything else. Let's do this together. So we can now move from window 3 to window 4, the fourth window, verse 47, and it says this: they praise God and they had favor with all the people. At the beginning, we read that the four things that they did, the fourth one was they prayed. So I kind of lumped prayed and praised together right here. But they praised the Lord. They prayed. I was just with a group at 9 o'clock this morning as we spend time, a few of us, just praying. Do you long for that? A community where you can pray, where out of the fervent place of your heart, you're lifting up to God needs and concerns. You're worshiping him for what we did. We prayed for people that were close to us, people that meant a lot, people who we didn't think were doing okay in our circles. They prayed and praised God often. People watching this community from outside, this community that does these four things, the people watching, they were so impressed with this community. They looked on and they thought, this is a community like none other. This isn't just another synagogue, a Jewish synagogue. This community of Jesus followers is doing something radically different. Because the conclusion was this, that the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. The Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. It says they had favor with all the people. Just imagine the people of Jerusalem looking on and being like, this community, says about 3,000 were saved at that time. This community, this is like nothing else. What is happening? The love that people had for each other in this community blew their mind. Maybe they asked the question, what is happening? How can I become part of it? Do you think people look at our community and say, what's happening here is just out of this world? How do I become part of this community? And the Lord added to their community daily those who were being saved. I've told you this many times before, but one of the struggles that I often hear from people is this: I can't get connected here at Transformation Church. And I just might ask us, as we care for each other, in a sense, isn't getting connected here at Transformation Church one of the more superficial layers to living a life like this church? I mean, if we were so committed to each other that the love that we had for each other moved us to even sell a car or a house to help someone, wouldn't that be downright breathtaking? And my challenge is just this, that we take this model of an early church in Acts, and we just might ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, how do we become more like this church? How do we love the differences in each other? How do we act in a way that is deep and kind and devoted to the Lord's teaching and often thinks about him and breaks bread in homes? How do we become that church? And I offered at the beginning that perhaps part of this is an aspect of devotion. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the word of the Lord. They devoted themselves to fellowship. Fellowship. Yes, potlucks, but more than that, way deeper than that. They devoted themselves to meeting at the church and in each other's homes and rejoicing and thinking about the work of Jesus among them. And they devoted themselves to praying and praising God. Now, if all we left with this morning was only simply an instruction to pull up our boots and try harder, then I think we would have missed something. You know why the early church did this? Because they had met Jesus. And you know what Jesus did? Jesus not only gave up houses and cars, he gave up his very life for people. The early church understood that. They got it. They said, we want to be like Jesus. Jesus laid down it all for you and I. And so today isn't just about you and I trying harder to be a more loving church, to find authentic community as the family of Jesus. It is us saying, Holy Spirit, make me more like Jesus. Because when we understand what Jesus has done for us, then we can live with that unrealistic, deep, unquenchable love for each other, where you and I will say, I'll do anything for my brother or sister. I'll stick up for my brother, even if I somewhat disagree. I will invite my sister over to our house. I will provide a place for them to sleep. I will never hate them. I will love them. Jesus, when he was doing his ministry here on the earth as a human, he is going around and his biological family comes to him upset with what he's doing, thinking he's crazy. And Jesus looks around at the crowd and he says, listen, do you want to know who my family is? My family is the one who does the word of God. And so love, it must be tough inside of us. It must be resilient. Love in us must be so tough that it's willing to bleed for each other. Holy Spirit, fill us so that we can become an authentic community as the family of God. Because we are family. We're united by the blood and through the person of Jesus Christ. And the way that we live as authentic community here at TC, it is a message to the world. Our winsome message, or our winsome ability to live together as radical family, will draw people to Transformation Church. And so we could sum this all up as saying this: authentic community as the family of God is to be devoted to scriptural teaching, to radical generosity, to fellowship, to sharing in meals together, to worship, and to prayer. It is to treat each other as brothers and sisters, as family. What will you do for your family? Invite the music team up at this time. As the team comes up, I'm just going to invite us, not so much to leave this sermon as like, here's this prescriptive model for how we do church, but this opportunity for us to open our hearts up to God and say, God, search me. Do I see this as my family? Do I see my brothers and sisters as family? And perhaps the Lord will speak to us and talk to us. Perhaps the Lord will move some of us to be radically generous. Perhaps the Lord will remind us to together read scripture together, to praise together, to break bread together, to look each other in the face as brothers and sisters. So the team's just going to play quietly. And if you're comfortable, just open up your hands even. But most importantly, open up your heart and say, Lord, here I am in this family. How would you have me to love my family? So just take a few minutes at that time to do that now.